fraud. I said the system, the system, the system is a grave.
My name is Liz Kirkus from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA Catskill and Hudson.
Are you looking for a child development program for your preschooler? Columbia Opportunities Head Start offers full-day early childhood development activities and support to eligible 3- and 4-year-olds throughout Columbia County at no cost to families. School readiness, health, nutrition, and parent engagement activities are offered throughout the year. Head Start classrooms are located in Hudson, Philmont, Taconic Hills, Volusia, and Chatham. Give your child a head start. For more information, 518-828-6312 or columbiaopportunities.org.
Hi, I'm Jack Sensabar from Catskill, inviting you to listen to my show, Backtracks in Time, dedicated to the history of Greene County, its notable people and places, and the Hudson River. The fourth Tuesday of every month from 2 to 3 p.m., broadcasting live from WGXC's satellite studio at the Catskill Library. You'll hear interviews with local historians, longtime residents with stories to tell, and archival recorded material. So please join me for Backtracks in Time every fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM, your community radio station.
Did you know that you can get free ebooks from your library anytime, anywhere? Check out with your library card and enjoy on popular devices like an iPad, e-reader, and smartphone. Visit your library's website or download the Overdrive Media Console mobile app to get started today.
Oh my God, honey, I just heard some terrible news. The radio station's going off the air.
Going off the air? How will I listen to my samba music? A 1, 2, 3, back, a 3, 2, 1, back, to the side, to the side, to the left.
Honey, you're an excellent samba dancer, but I think this is it for them.
Oh no, I just went to their website, wgxc.org. You can donate monthly, did you know that?
Yeah, you can make one of those one-time donations, but you know what I'm into? Monthly sustaining support.
Oh honey, you're very sustaining, especially when we go and have that delicious spring water in Hudson and the environs.
All right. Don't get so frisky, honey. Donate monthly. Choose your amount from the drop-down menu on the old website there, or donate by check. Did you know I can give them my stock donations?
Oh, honey, give them some of that worthless Bitcoin that those children who were sleeping in their cars, they told us to buy the Bitcoin. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I got some of that Bitcoin, but I got something better, cold hard cash. Donate right now to the best radio station in the land.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to health care and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
I'll have some clam chowder followed by beefsteak on rye, pumpkin pie, whipped cream and coffee. I want a green salad on the side. Don't forget the french fries.
Good afternoon. This is Eating It in the Hudson Valley, and I'm Phyllis Segura, your host. Since we are at the time of year of another new year, the Lunar New Year, it's appropriate we have a guest who will tell us about vitality cleanses and how to prepare our energy for the coming seasons, and someone who is starting a business called Random Harvest. Today we'll be chatting with Susan Ray, who is a graduate of the Ann Wigmore Natural Health Institute. Ann Wigmore was a pioneer of things like wheatgrass juice and living foods, sure Susan will tell us more about that. She's an accomplished food preparer with many years' experience in kitchen craft, particularly in relation to spiritual practice. Since 4 years, she has been converting to a living foods lifestyle for herself as a way to achieve her goal of having vibrant health, stable weight, and resolving food addictions and still have a satisfying good meal. I'm sure she'll tell us all about her journey in this regard. And also here joining us today is Hillary Melville, who, and I'm going to play a speech that Hillary gave at a gathering on August 19th in Craryville. It was the introduction, really, at least for me, of Random Harvest, and they invited the community to celebrate summer food and get people excited about what they're doing and what they plan to open in the fall. So welcome to Susan and Hillary. I'm going to talk with Hillary first. Well, no, I'm going to talk with Susan first. Susan, I understand from some things you told me and from your website, Susan Ray with a S-U-S-U-N, right? Ray.com?
It's actually vitalitycleanse.net.
Vitalitycleanse.net, okay. And that you offer a program of vitality cleanses, and you deliver 5 days' worth of blended juice drinks that contain superfoods. Tell us about that. Why would we want one?
Well, a cleanse can accomplish many things. It can reset your system so that if you, like me, sometimes veer off into cookies and such, and you want to get clean up your act, and you're having trouble doing that, when you go on a cleanse, your body and your mind and your spirit all clear so that you can hear your body speak to you and guide you in terms of its needs a lot more clearly. And if you listen to it, it'll help you heal. If you need healing, we all need healing.
Mm-hmm. What happens when you listen to it? What does that mean? What is it? I mean, how does it tell you what it tells you?
Everybody's different. Right. Every body is different. Right. And every body speaks in its own language. My body, when I'm drawn to something, I open. I feel my cells open. When something is probably not good for me, there's a kind of rejection or pushing away that I experience.
But does that come from your body or your mind?
Well, really, they're not separate.
Well, they're not separate, but we have to practice that they aren't. We have to coordinate body, mind, and speech. That's the three that are usually
We have to tune into the alignment more than practice it. It's there. Uh-huh.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, with the mind, like, it's habitual patterns that take over. Also with the body.
Well, that's why you break them up with a cleanse. You break up those habitual patterns and start fresh. It's a way of starting fresh.
But can you do that in 5 days?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, you can
That's
do it in
news.
Three. Some people do it in three. It's not a complete rehauling of your body.
Right.
But it is, you will feel renewed, you'll feel different, you'll feel refreshed, and you'll look it too.
Right.
I can pretty much guarantee that.
Really? And so, is this a new idea?
No.
No.
It's as old as Asclepius talked about cleansing way, way back. Cleansing has been a way of healing, cleansing and fasting for hundreds and thousands of years. Uh-huh. Nothing new about it at all.
And what does the particular cleanse that you provide, what is it? What is it and what does it do?
It's all vegan, I would say 95% organic nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables that are blended or juiced. There are 6 16-ounce drinks a day. They're made fresh and then delivered each morning. And they're ordered in a certain way to both nourish and scrub. Cleanse, and also to satisfy your taste. Hopefully, they're my clients tell me they're really tasty, and they're certainly meant to be. So you're being nurtured on a number of levels. You're getting nutrients, you're getting whole foods that are easy to digest because they're blended or juiced, and you're getting satisfaction, spiritual satisfaction, because the food's tasty. And there's something about having food prepared for you with love.
Sure.
Which you know very well, I know.
Since I do it, yeah. Give us an example of some of the blended juices.
Usually, now it's shifting a little bit because I have some long-standing clients and I want to keep them interested.
Right.
But usually I start with some kind of green juice. More and more often it's a celery juice because I'm interested in what a guy named Anthony William, the medical medium, is writing about. And he says celery juice is one of the most healing foods there is.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with a green juice. Then there's usually a berry drink or papaya. Then there's a green soup.
Uh-huh, soups. Is that hot or cold?
It's cold. It can be. If I can detour for a moment,
sure.
The definition of a living food is a food that hasn't been heated over 115 degrees.
115.
And the reason uh-huh. for that is that over 115 degrees, you start losing enzymatic vitality.
Uh-huh.
And it's the enzymes that aid your digestion and that bring vitality to your body.
And don't we lose a lot of the capability of the enzymes as we get older?
We seem to lose a lot of everything as we get older.
Everything. Yeah, but I find that, you know, people become lactic intolerant and they have digestion problems. I know that I have to take enzymes occasionally for digestion.
I see what you're saying. Yes, I think that that's true, but that has also something to do with how we've eaten in the past, how
right.
we've nourished ourselves. I think people mm-hmm. who, unlike myself, have had a lifetime of healthy eating probably don't have the same problem.
Right. And then the word healthy is just, you know, up in the air, too. I mean, we sort of know what it is, but it means something different to everybody.
Well, we all know when we feel good
yes.
when we don't.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah. How do you judge a person's status before and after the cleanse? What do you look for?
Well, when somebody is coming to me for the first time, I ask them if they have any medical issues that I should know about, if they have any food sensitivities. And there are certain people, it hasn't happened often, where I've said, I'm not sure that this is right for you.
Oh, really?
People who are very underweight, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, because these are whole foods and you're getting a whole array of foods every day, it's not risky. It's a very gentle cleanse. It's not a fast.
Yeah.
It's a cleanse.
And I tried doing something with juices one time, and I just found it so expensive. I just couldn't keep doing it. And then in the middle of it, a dear friend of mine died, so I stopped it.
Oh.
But I was set to doing it. And this was with a group. Other people were involved in the cleanse, and we would talk to each other online and so forth. I don't know how often. I can't remember the whole thing. But you don't do much with juices.
The first drink every day is a juice. The rest uh-huh. are all blended. And I'll just finish the rundown of the six drinks. After the berry drink, there's a green soup.
Uh-huh.
Then there's another fruit drink, usually a citrus, because citrus is a good scrubber.
Uh-huh.
And then there's usually a root soup or a broth. Sometimes I make a bone broth, either chicken uh-huh. or beef,
right.
or I do the medical medium's healing broth, which is all vegan and hearty also. And then the last drink is a nut milk that I make myself.
So what you're also describing is how people take it during the day?
Right.
Okay.
The drinks
That's
are numbered.
The
and the cleanse comes with a user's manual.
Yeah.
And the user's manual will tell you how to take the drinks. The drinks are numbered.
Uh-huh.
Usually you take them every 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And there's more information in the user's manual as well.
Okay. There's one thing I noticed. It's something called Rejuvelac. Am I pronouncing that right?
Perfect.
And is that something that Ann Wigmore came up with?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And you use that too?
I like to use it. A lot of my clients don't like it, so I stopped including it in every cleanse, and I make it for those who request it.
So they don't like it? They don't like the taste of it or what it does to them?
Well, what it does is very positive. They don't like the taste or they don't like the idea of it. It's a fermented drink made either from wheat berries, or I make it from quinoa, so it's got a much milder taste. You can make it from cabbage, and it's fermented, so it's got a kind of sour taste. Personally, I like it.
Right. But we're not used to sour in this culture at all.
I guess not.
No, I mean, you know, people don't eat sour things all that much.
It's like any kind of fermented food, like fermented sauerkraut or kimchi or something, except that it's liquid. And I mix it in some of the drinks, and sometimes people can't tell, and sometimes they can.
What about kombucha? Isn't that sort of in that category?
I think it is, yeah. Basically, it's a source of probiotic.
The probiotic, yeah. Just the name is just somebody, she made it up, and so it's called that.
Well, because it's rejuvenating.
Rejuvelac. look how I drew it with a little rays coming out of it. And it has vitamin B, C, and E is what I wrote from my notes.
I think some other stuff, too, but I couldn't list it for you.
Yeah, but friendly bacteria, so it's a probiotic right there. You got that. I mean, nobody ever prescribed probiotics years ago. I had an acupuncturist in New York, and he would offer the probiotics that would come not through the channels, you know, not through customs, because they all get zapped. So he had different kinds of probiotics, and this was in the 90s, when nobody was giving probiotics then. He was really ahead of the curve.
Well, you know, part of the reason is that the overuse of antibiotics has thrown so many bodies out of whack that probiotics have become... Also, the food, our food has been so sterilized in a way, and the probiotics are naturally on food that's been organically grown and locally grown.
Eat some dirt, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
they have children eating dirt, right? That's great. Oh, you had one more thing on there that I really want to ask you about. Play shop. What's the play shop concept?
Well, the play shop concept is it's a workshop, but I hope people have fun.
Rather than work, you put play. Yeah. I like that. That's good. We could all use it. May I use it?
Sure.
I'm not having a workshop, but a play shop. That's great. We will attribute that to Susan Ray. That's lovely. Now, also on your website, there's something about you doing energy readings. And Hillary, jump in here anytime. If you have any questions, just jump in, please. We're going to be talking to Hillary soon. But before we talk to Hillary, I am going to play a little bit of music, but I'll tell you about it. Energy readings. Qu'est-ce que c'est?
The energy readings evolved many years ago from my interest in astrology, which is basically a language for organic energy, how to recognize different patterns of energy in people or in the movements of our world. And astrology can be very analytical and tedious that way for me. And I started receiving information through other sources. I would see things and hear things and pick up the energy of my clients just...
Intuitively,
thank you. And it just was easier, often more accurate, and more efficient. So I call them energy readings.
Okay, what do you tell people?
I focus...
And how long does it take?
Usually a reading is an hour to 2 hours, depending on the questions.
Really?
Mm. Convey the basic information that the client seems to need is usually conveyed in an hour. And if they have lots of questions, it can go on. I focus on what are presented to me as either spiritual or psycho-emotional issues or gifts or and how to work with them. I don't do much prediction because I think we create our own futures. We co-create them. I don't want to limit anybody. Once in a while, I'll get some information about health. But mostly to do with the life direction, the life intentions and such.
Right. Interesting. And do you do astrology as well?
I do. I look at the chart. I will look at the
chart. We did have a show with Tad Mann about astrology and food.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can look at it in the, listen to it in the archives.
I will.
That do you know Tad?
I don't.
It's A.T. Mann. A.T. like Atman. And that's his website. And he's been doing a lot of presentations at the Rubin Museum in New York.
Oh, neat.
You can probably find those on YouTube also. But I think he's a pretty terrific astrologer. I can understand some of the things he says. And he does have a newsletter. And I do get that.
He should take over Planet Waves.
I don't think that's his bag. But I think somebody else did that.
They did, but they left, and I missed them.
Oh, well, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about that. That's another show. But I just try to stick to the food topic.
Sorry.
No, not a problem at all. I will veer with the best of them. So I think right now we're going to take a little music break. I wanted to find some, because of what we're talking about, I wanted to find some Tibetan singing bowls, but I didn't really find anything that I liked. So I did find some wonderful, very early Ravi Shankar music from 1965. And I can't play all of it, but let's have a nice little resting moment here and think about cleansing. And Susan will tell us how you can reach her, too. Here we go.
Yeah.
That was lovely Ravi Shankar, and this is Eating It in the Hudson Valley, and I'm Phyllis Segura, your host, and I'm speaking with Susan Ray and Hilary Melville this afternoon, and I want to send out that music that I just sent to HM. That person will know who they are. Well, maybe they won't, but they'll figure it out. And you started secret messages on the radio. Do you have any secret messages with initials? Well, throw in another initial, SH. Okay, so now we are going to talk. Actually, I'm going to play a little talk that you gave. And this is Hilary talking to a large group of people under a tent who were all eating some delicious food.
It's great. I hope the food is amazing. It is great. Who here used to shop at the old Random Harvest?
Yeah.
Yay. Awesome. Who here's for the first time?
Yay.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you a quick little story. So once upon a time, there was a market, and it opened in the late 1800s, and it was a general store. And over many, many years, it was also other things. It was a post office. It was a soda fountain. It was a deli. And most recently, for over 30 years, it was owned by Christine and Paul Hannafin, and it was called Random Harvest. And they operated it as a market, and they grew. And they grew produce in the back, and they sold it in the store. It was a wonderful staple of the community. Lots of people shopped here. It was kind of a local gathering place and watering hole. And so a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago, myself and this group of women, we purchased the building and from Chris, because she had closed it a number of years back. And we've been renovating it since. And we have a vision of being part of creating a relational food economy in the Hudson Valley. And what does a relational food economy mean? It means being in relationship with one another, being in relationship to the food that we're eating, being in relationship to the farmers that grow our food. I feel like food is a deep unifier because we all have to eat and we all depend on the land to sustain us. And so we are committed to supporting the local farmers in our area and supporting them in being able to sustain themselves. And we're also committed to equitable ownership, so we're structured as a worker-owned cooperative, which means that the people who run the business are owners, and any employee at the business there's a pathway towards ownership. What else? So we want to, let's see, where am I at? Bringing people together around food, around music, around community happenings like this. So we strive to be accessible and diverse in all the ways that you can be. So culturally, economically, racially, we want to be a very inclusive space because we all thrive when we're together and when we're all bringing our gifts to the table. So some of the ways that we're doing that is we strive to be seasonal with our menu in our cafe and deli. We have an amazing community space upstairs. We'll be giving more tours if you haven't gotten to see the space yet. But we have a community space that will be used for yoga classes and movie nights and concerts and workshops and lecture series and anything that people want to use the space for, that's what it's available for. So think about what kinds of things do you want to see there? What gifts do you have that you want to bring to the space? Do you do acupuncture? Do you want to do community acupuncture? Are you a stand-up comedian? Do you want to be part of an open mic night? Are you a musician? Do you want to perform here? That's what this space is available for. We also have a upstairs a certified commercial kitchen space that will be available for the community to use as well. So that is for producers who want to create products that they can sell here and other places. It's also going to be for like fermentation workshops or cooking classes or canning parties. So it's also kind of available for use in creative ways that people want to use it for. So yeah, we have this amazing market. It's going to be a market downstairs with lots of seasonal produce and locally produced goods, cafe and deli space with amazing, so you're getting to taste some of, Amy Lawton is our amazing chef. You're getting to taste some of her food tonight. So yeah, I can't wait to taste it. We have a 10-foot deli case in our deli space that is going to be full of food all the time that you can come in and buy. We'll also have made to order food and beverages. And then we have this amazing community space. And so thank you for being here. I know the big question is, when are we opening? And the answer is this fall. And that's as much of an answer as we're going to give you. But it's soon. Fall is soon. And thank you all so much for being here for our inaugural event. And we're just, we're beyond pleased at this turnout. And we're just so excited to live into this vision with you. This vision's about all of us together. So if you have an idea of something you want to bring to the table, you want to do an event, or just any way you want to participate, please be in touch with us. Come find me, come talk to me, take our business card, take a flyer, email us. Stay tuned for our opening and be part of this magic that we're all creating together.
Hey, how about that? And we've got one of the principals here with us. Why don't you give us some your contact information right at the head here before we forget?
Okay. My name's Hillary Melville, and I'm with Random Harvest, and we are located in Craryville, New York. Our website is randomharvestmarket.com. Our email address is info@randomharvestmarket.com. And we're a worker-owned cooperative market, cafe, deli, and community space.
Okay. Now, you've got five women teaming up. Mm-hmm. Robin Mullaney, Claire Wolf, Margot Siegel, and you.
Mm-hmm. Which makes four, actually.
Oh, four women. Oh, I wrote four women. Just the mind and the mind don't coordinate. We need some work here. And the chef.
Yes.
And that's five.
Yes.
I add the chef.
Yes.
What's the chef's name? I know it was
Amy Lawton is our chef.
Amy
and
Lawton.
She's not technically an owner yet, but we hope she will be joining us in the future.
L-A-U-G-H-T-O-N?
L-A-W-T-O-N.
Okay. So how did you all get together? Where did this idea come from? Tell us.
Well, it started, I lived just up the road from the old Random Harvest Market in Hillsdale, and I'd been driving by, walking by this old market for years. It had been closed ever since I moved there, and for years I'd been going, man, someone should reopen that market and do something with it. My history is I opened a coffee house in my hometown when I was 24 to be kind of a local gathering space. It was the only place that offered local food, organic food. And so I've always been really passionate about bringing people together around food and music and creating community. And yeah, so for many years, I was really curious about this market. And then eventually I decided to reach out to the owner and kind of see what the deal was with it. And She was just about to list it on the market. So I looked around to see if I could figure out how to purchase the building, and was able to purchase the building, and then found these women to join me in the project. And so there's three of us who've been working together for close to 3 years now.
Wait, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Yeah.
That's not so easy, finding three other people. Come on, give me a little backstory there.
Little backstory. well, Robin was the first one to join me, and initially
you knew these people before?
I did not.
Wow.
So Robin, I met through a friend. She'd been working for a friend of mine, and she referred her to me. And at that point, I wanted it to be a worker-owned cooperative, but then I had some people talk me out of that. They were kind of like, cooperatives are really complicated, and maybe just start out as a regular business and transition down the road. And so that's how I started out. I just hired Robin to help me. And then soon after that, I met Claire. Claire was also through a mutual friend. She was working on the Good Food for Hudson project here. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's a... it's with, what is the local farm? They do CSAs and mm-hmm. bring them in for low-income folks. Mm-hmm. So Claire was involved in that project, and a friend of mine referred her. So, and then after a while of all three of us working together, I went to a presentation by the Working World, which is a worker-owned cooperative. They fund worker-owned cooperatives. And I just got so excited about cooperatives. And I was just like, man, I don't want to be the main proprietor. I want mm-hmm. to be part of a team. It's hard and lonely to be
sure.
like the boss.
Sure.
And I'd done it before with my coffee house, and I knew it just wasn't the model. So asked them if they wanted to transition into a cooperatively owned model, and they said yes.
Uh-huh.
And
did people have to bring their own financing, or you?
So we have a pretty low buy-in. most worker-owned cooperatives, it's much higher, but we want to keep it really accessible so uh-huh. that people aren't limited by finances. Yeah, and then about a year later, we found Margo, also through a mutual friend,
uh-huh.
and she joined the team, and we all bring unique things to the table.
What was the first thing that you decided to do? Like, okay, open a market, or mm-hmm. what was the main headline?
Yeah, I think, the vision was to reopen it kind of similar to what it had been, which was a kind of a farm market.
Uh-huh.
And we're all really passionate about local food and supporting local farmers and food
right.
producers. So we knew we wanted to support the local food movement. We knew we wanted to bring diverse community together. Initially we didn't totally have the vision for the community space right off the bat. The community space is upstairs, and the upstairs used to be an apartment, and that's where the owners used to live.
Mm-hmm.
And when we brought in our project manager to start renovating the building, so Mark Schaffler, who is one of the owners of Club Helsinki, and who built out Helsinki, we brought him on. He's a good friend to do the build out for us, because his workmanship is just beautiful.
Mark what?
Mark Schaffler.
Schaffler. Okay.
And when Mark came on, we started, you know, looking at the apartment upstairs and thinking, what are we going to do with this space? And he said, well, we knock down these walls and we take down the ceiling, we can open it up and have a cathedral ceiling, and this space will be a really beautiful space. And so that's what we did, and now we have a beautiful space that can fit up to 50 people.
Yeah, Susan has something to say.
I have a question. Yeah. How did you finance the purchase of the building and the renovations?
So I have access to finances from my husband's side of the family, and so I own the building and have paid for the renovations. The business is owned separate from the real estate, and we're financing that with private loans from various individuals, and then we're also seeking loans from food enterprise organizations. There's a couple nonprofits we're seeking loans from right now. Right.
Yeah, the financing is always the question that people want to know, like, how'd you do this?
Yep. Yeah. It's
Will you have your own farm as well?
So we're doing some gardening in the back. The previous owners used to farm. There's so many wonderful farmers in the area, and we're really looking to support them and not compete with them.
Sure.
So we won't be doing any large scale production farming. What we've been focusing on, Claire Wolf is our, she's one of the people on the team who's a farmer, actually. Margot is as well, but she's grown a beautiful garden. She's been focusing a lot on perennials, and on native perennials. And so we're kind of focused on showcasing native perennials for our area. So more for educational purposes than for selling in the market.
Mm-hmm. Now, I looked into the building, and I saw there was like a central place. It was sort of like that TV show Cheers. It was like a bar in the middle. What's that going to be?
So that'll be our checkout counter. The original Random Harvest had a horseshoe-shaped checkout counter in the middle of the room, which is, you know, kind of like old general store nostalgic-looking kind of counter. And so we rebuilt that counter to be kind of the central checkout location, and we like it because it's very it's just very friendly, and you know, you walk in and be greeted by people. It's funny, I was just in Boston and my daughter wanted to go visit Cheers where it was filmed. So we went and visited.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about it? Like, well, you're not going to tell us when it's going to open, because whoever knows that. But I also like with this show, I'm sure that Susan could do her play shops there. I heard you talking about that and cooking classes, which so somehow this show also brings people together. Whenever I have two people on, they always connect somehow. So I really nice. Like that. And I don't mind when people just walk in off the street too sometimes, you know, just to say hello. I would encourage more of that. We're in Hudson.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah, so we'll have a certified kitchen upstairs that's for community use. And so please, if you're listening to this and you're interested in using the space to offer a workshop or a class, or if you need a space to create a product that you want to sell, that's what the space is available for.
Is it going to be a teaching kitchen? Do you know what I mean by that? I have a whole thing. There are some places around, and I've seen the kitchens, and they aren't teaching kitchens. Teaching kitchens, one of the aspects of a teaching kitchen is that it has a mirror overhead, so that because people can't see what you're doing. So when you have the mirror overhead and people are in the audience, whether they're just watching or they're participating, because that's two ways to do a cooking class, they can see what's going on with the mirror. So even though the ceiling is very high, I would encourage, you can actually put it up on side pieces and have the tilted thing there, like they do that in schools. I would encourage you to do that.
Great, that's good feedback. Yeah, at this point it isn't built out as a teaching kitchen, but we're very open to suggestions, and if people are going to be using the space, we'll kind of, you know, tailor it to for the usage that it will be used for.
I'd be
for.
Glad to have a quick consultation with you when you get to that stage, having done it and realized, like, well, this could be this and that could be that, and that would work, and it's an easy fix.
Yeah.
To make it into that.
Mm-hmm.
It quite so great. Yeah.
One thing also I'll just mention that I didn't mention in our introduction, but part of the community space upstairs is we have some smaller rooms that are kind of office-sized rooms. And one of the rooms we're looking to have be like a shared healing space that different practitioners can use. So, for instance, if you were doing a consultation, it could be a space that's used for that. If, you know, any kind of body workers, a massage therapist or an acupuncturist or the space will be available for use for those kinds of things.
To rent or?
Yeah. So we're really interested in doing a community membership model where so the idea for it right now is that you'll either pay a certain amount per year to use the space, or ideally you'll give a certain amount of time to the space every year. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about this model because, so for instance, what we're imagining is if someone gave 8 hours a year to the space, so that could be, for instance, you know, giving a workshop or giving a yoga class, you would give your amount of time, and then you would have, you would get to use the kitchen space or the community space to do the things that you'd do. And then you would have free access to other members' offerings. Mm-hmm. So the vision is that you would give 8 hours, but then you could go to other people's things and kind of have more access to more hours than what you've given. And I just really like playing with different kinds of economic models, and that kind of when we all bring our gifts and we demonetize them, then we become more abundant as a result.
Absolutely.
Are you familiar with what they do at the Lace Factory in Kingston, where they have, I think it's either once a month or once a week, that a whole bunch of healers donate their time.
Oh, nice.
And are spread throughout the ground floor of the building, each offering their own modality of healing. I don't know how they work it economically, but it's the people who take advantage of it pay some very minimal thing for really skilled people who are donating their time to the community.
Mm-hmm. That sounds wonderful.
They do that in a couple of other places too. Mm-hmm. They can look into. But one thing, Hillary, I know that I sent you something that I would like to discuss briefly.
Yeah.
It's something that I found on at the Quarry Brook Farm website. It's quarrybrookfarms.com, Q-U-A-R-R-Y. I don't know these people, but they have a blog, and they put some interesting things up. And this one is entitled, Cultivating Resistance in a World That Wants Everything Cheaper, Bigger, and More Efficient. And it's their thoughts on the current farm crisis. Now, maybe you don't know that there's a farm crisis, but everywhere you look, another farm is closing or going under, especially dairy farms. And one of the things that's happening is that large agriculture is taking over. And the thing that they put up as the resolution for that is to actually buy from farmers, to keep the power with the farmers, because otherwise the farmers are powerless. And everything as it is turning more and more to corporate agriculture, and we won't have any choice in what they do. We can see that coming already. And a lot, that's how the farmers markets and the CSAs and those sort of things started, because some people did see this evolving towards that. And that was only, not even 20 years ago that farmers markets really cropped up all over the place, and the CSAs. And also the labelings of things. And the labeling has been co-opted a lot as well. Maybe we should have Grace Gershuni. She's my organic go-to person. I don't know if you've listened to any of the shows, but Grace Gershuni is the one that helped put the organic rules together she actually worked for the USDA, but she's somebody that started the organic movement in Vermont. And I happen to know her, and so I do get her on the show every once in a while to talk to us about organics, and she's really good. And the first show had it, and you can go into the archive and find those. But what do you think about this? I mean, it says that farmers really could grow enough food to feed the world, but they need consumers to buy it from them and not from the superstores. What's happening in the superstores, too, is that they'll start putting up, they'll get local products, and then they'll drop it. They'll just put it in because it's good for show, and then people think, oh, they have local products all the time, and they don't?
Yeah.
I've seen that in ShopRite.
They call it greenwashing.
Is that what it's called?
Well, some people refer to it as greenwashing, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, the agribusiness, it's so huge, and small farms, it's very challenging to compete. They can't compete price wise, and so it's important for people to value food more and be willing to pay more mm-hmm. for food. And you know, in the U.S., we spend the least amount of any country in the world on our food, percentage-wise of our income.
You said you're going to have a direct sale model. What's that?
Yeah, so that's part of what we're passionate about is supporting local farmers. And we're using a consignment-based model. It's based off of, there's a market in Ann Arbor, Michigan called Argus Farm Stop, who... we're very inspired. They've been using this model successfully for a few years now. And so it will function more like a year-round farmer's market than a typical grocery. And the way it works is that farmers or other food producers can sell their products through us. They still own their products. They get to set their own pricing. They do direct drop-off to us. And then they keep 75% of the sales, and we take 25%. Mm. And we care for the product, and we kind of manage the inventory and tell them, you know, when they need to bring more, you know, if things aren't selling and if they should bring less. And it's good for farmers because they get a higher percentage than wholesale pricing, and it cuts out the middle, like a distributor. It's not always convenient, depending on where the farmer's located, if they're doing drop-offs in our area or not. Sure. But it's one of the things that we appreciate about it is it's very relational because mm-hmm. it gets the farmers and food producers in the market, and then they can interact with the rest of the community. They and the community can get to know the farmers, and we give them free coffee. So, you know, you come in, have a cup of coffee or tea, and interact with the community. And we're really passionate about the relational aspect of this.
That's interesting. But most farmers are not talkers.
So it's a mix.
It's in there.
Yeah.
But most of the farmers that I do know a few who are really talkers.
Yeah.
But generally, they like to do their thing. But,
yeah.
But it is good to meet your farmer and know, you know, how conscientious they are and what they're doing and to develop a feeling of trust.
Yeah, and also of valuing them. You know, we've done a series of community meetings to get feedback from the community on what needs of the communities we can serve. And it's been really interesting to have these meetings with farmers and other community members and have community members kind of like talk a little bit about food being too expensive, and the farmers say, hey, we're not making very much money on this. And for people to be like, oh, right. Like, oh, we understand now. Like, we need to support you.
Great. Well, we've got about just under five minutes to go. And I do want to mention, I want to talk to Susan about something really fast. I'm going to talk really fast now. That there's the Hudson Mobile Grocery Store has started. Woo-hoo! I want you to tell you about that and where it is. But you can find it. Go to rollinggrocer19.org. And that's their website. And you can find where they are. And I put out something on their Facebook page, but I didn't hear back from them. And Susan, I just want to bring up also that Susan is the head of the Nicholas Ray Foundation. She was married to the auteur film director. I suppose his most famous film is Rebel Without a Cause. And Susan has recently completed a documentary about it. Mm. If you can just really just put it in. We do have a full 5 minutes.
Can you talk as fast as that?
We're working with my late husband's archive. We're creating a masterclass in filmmaking, all taught by Nick in Nick's voice on several different platforms. We have a tentative agreement with, very tentative, depending on raising the rest of the financing, working with MIT and with Bard to create these different platforms for educating people about filmmaking as a way of life.
Uh-huh. Right. That's the story. I mean, I'm sure you could talk about it much longer.
How much more do you want to know?
Yeah, well, but another time. But that sounds very exciting to me. Either one of you have anything to add? Why don't you give your contact information again?
My website for the cleanse is vitalitycleanse.net. The phone number for the office is 845-876-7788. The website has a link to our schedule, which gets updated periodically. We will be running a cleanse at the end of September. And let me add, if there's anybody who's, we are expanding, the business after 10 years has grown quite a bit, and I'm looking for people to work with me, both as delivery people and in the kitchen.
To learn what you do.
To learn and help and get paid for it. And
sounds good.
The only hitch is you have to get up very early in the morning.
Well, some people are. Some people do that. It's that's what they like to do. Occasionally, we all slip into that. Farmers certainly do that. And we are going to go out with a little bit of music, something a little bit different today. It's Come On My Come On In My Kitchen. We're going to try to play that.
some other girl got my